Well, for those of you who may not know, our precious brother, Pastor Don, is a minister, Free Methodist minister in Michigan. Is that where you spent most of your years?
Yes, all of my years.
Okay. And he asked if he might be able to share a word. And I'm very selfish with the pulpit and didn't say yes right away. But as our special guest and visitor, and of course, we've tried to be there with him as he's going through these cancer treatments, and he felt he had a message on his heart that he'd like to share. He's asked me to do the scripture reading. I'll be reading first Revelation chapter 2, 1 through 5. These are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard works, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles and are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardship for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. And lampstand there is a reference to the church. Then Numbers, verses 1 through 10. That night, all the members, I should say Numbers 14, pardon me, 1 through 10. That night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, "If only we had died in Egypt or in the wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?" And they said to each other, "We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelites assembly, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them." But the whole assembly talked about stoning them. Then the glory of the Lord suddenly appeared at the tent of meeting before all of the Israelites. Let's pray. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we pray for our brother Don. We pray, Lord, that your spirit would all the more be upon him, working in him, that the words that he share, Father, would be ignited by your spirit, that, Lord, there would be a sense of you speaking through him, and that, Father, our hearts would be open to receive that which you've given him to share with us this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
My neck is sore from all this radiation.
Okay. Thank you. You've been led very professionally in worship today. That was a fantastic job. Give them a nice hand. Thank you very much. And what the pastor said about being selfish with the pulpit is very wise. This is not in my notes, but since you said that, I want to tell you, I'm a storyteller. And as a storyteller, I have some stories to tell that will relate to the message today. And I trust as you've been led into worship that the Holy Spirit will continue to lead you to receive what the Holy Spirit has to say through myself and through your pastor as he closes in, later on today. It was on a Thursday, and I went down to my church, and I always preach my sermon on a Thursday by myself in the sanctuary, and our sanctuary is just like this. And we do not have a balcony anymore. It goes all the way back. And a little guy was sitting on my steps. I couldn't understand a word he was saying. He had an Irish brogue. Could not understand him. And finally, I sat down and told him to slow down. I said, "I don't understand you." And he told me he had a message for my church. And I said, "Well, if God's told you, you tell me." And he told me. Everything he said was correct. Was correct. Well, I went a little further. I called my conference superintendent, and because I was new at that church, at the Lincoln Park Free Methodist Church, I just started, and he had got off a plane in Detroit, and the Lord showed him our church, showed him this church, and he said, "I had to come here." He said, "I missed my flight going back to Ireland," and he was an evangelist. And he told me that there was a lady in the church who had a black hole in her belly. Well, I knew who that was. My mother was going into surgery, and the doctor told me she had a tumor in her belly. And then he told me of a man that I was worried about, one of the men in our congregation, who was going to have a heart surgery on Tuesday. And he had been fellowshipping with some type of religion that, you know, was not in line with what Christ is and who Christ says he is. And he went on and on. When he got in the pulpit, he was so plain. You could understand him, and he told those things. And he brought people up and began to lay hands on him. And Monday, my mother had surgery. And he also had said the black ball had a hole in it. Dr. Eichenauer brought the tumor up after surgery and says, "Look here, Don, this is what was in your mother." And he said, "There's a hole there." Amen. And then he told about the guy who was fellowshipping. And I went to see Roy after John had left. John and I became very good friends. John Thomas Clark, he's passed away now. And he owned an oil company, and very wealthy man. He owned an oil company in Ireland. He delivered most of, in Southern Ireland, he delivered most of the propane gas. And I talked to Roy about what he was doing, visiting. Roy recommitted his life to the Lord and passed away. Everything he said was true. So I don't blame you, Pastor, very much. I don't blame you. You know, We're going to do a little thing here today. We're going to talk about some games that you played as a child. Do you remember Tin Can Alley or Kick the Can? How many remember it? Okay. Do you remember the rules? Well, our rules were this. Since we lived out in the country, we had a big old stump that we set there. And if you got caught, you had to sit on the stump and wait till the guy who's trying to catch you tags you and you get back in the game. Remember that, back in the game. As the song said today, you can get back in the game. Amen. All you got to do is confess, a genuine confession. And you'd kick the can and you'd run and get it. And he'd run and get it and he would try to catch you. And after he'd call, if there's just one person left and that person came up and kicked the can, all of us got to get back in the game. Takes one person to lead a church this coming year and see the vision that your pastor and you have for yourselves this year. God's going to do some great things. Follow that vision. Follow that vision. The last two messages have been dynamite. When vision is not enough, and the three S's, you know, they were fantastic. We've been here now for a total of 10 weeks, and I'm a cancer patient, and God's been good. He's been good. It hasn't been easy, but he's been good. And there's a quote by one of the famous pastors, Peter Marshall. Do you know who Peter Marshall is? There's a movie out called A Man Called Peter. It's an old movie if you want to go get it. It's called A Man Called Peter. Peter Marshall made a statement. When we expect lives not to have difficulties, reminds us that oaks grow in contrary winds. Think of that. Oak grows in contrary winds, okay? And that quote is fantastic. I won't go into his trials and tribulations, but we're going to talk about some trials and tribulations in a minute, especially from the scriptures here. But first, Pastor's going to come around and take a mic, and maybe two or three of you, tell us some of the games you remember as a child. Would you please do that? Would you raise your hand, and Pastor will come around with the mic. You know, I'd mentioned it. And tell us some games you had played that you remember. Maybe Red Rover, come on over. You remember that? Okay. You remember throwing the ball over the roof and running and grabbing it and catching it? All these games were built so you could get back in the game. We need to get back in the game if we're not in the game. We need to go back to this cross here and say, Lord, I want to return to my first love, as it talked about in Revelations. There's the cross here. And
just a second. Where's the other one?
I'm sorry. I put that one. As we prepare here, this thanks for the song about holding a baby. I'm going to talk to you about this in a few minutes.
Red light, green light. Mother, may I?
Boy, those were a few I forgot. Someone else?
Simon says.
Uh-huh.
Kickball.
I like the cootie catchers. Can you open them like that?
Jax, okay. Slinky. Marbles. Hopscotch. Someone said something over here. Street ball. Hide and seek. Pick up sticks. Tag. I can see right now, I don't need this mic. King of the mountain. King of the hill. Uh-huh.
Horse.
Basketball. Uh-huh. Jump rope. Okay. Hopscotch. Okay. Spin the tail on a donkey. I thought it was pin the tail. Oh, pin it. Okay. Is that enough?
Thank you. Thank you very much. I want to thank Fifi for bringing me these props that I asked for. And as I was journaling, I've not been sleeping well, and this morning is the same thing. I was out in the family room reading the scriptures, and God has used me. There's been a lady who came in and was terminal, and they told her to go home, and I was able to pray for her, and she's seen the Bible I have. And it's a prophecy Bible, but it's also a very good study Bible. In the back it says, who is Jesus, who is God, what is the Holy Spirit, what is baptism, why do we baptize? And it leads, and it's very good. And she ordered this Bible that night. I told her she could order it online, and she got a used one for $10.95. And this one cost over $100 years and years ago. My wife brought that for me as a Christmas gift. You know, do you remember the first time you held your child? The song, you know, related to holding a baby. You know, we have trials and tribulations in our lives, don't we? Well, we had a trial, and I'm sure you guys have had many trials. Sickness, bills not being paid, things happen, but we have an answer. Winners say I can, losers say I can't. Okay? Winners say I can, losers say I can't. Together, we can accomplish all things with the blood of Christ. Amen? So, my wife, you know, was expecting our first child. And my wife's very aggressive, and she had been busy that day, and I came home, and she sat on the steps, and she was hurting. And I got on the phone, and I don't have a phone with anyone else on the line, and there's someone on the line. I'm calling the hospital. And so I put her in the car and rushed to the hospital, and she was hemorrhaging. And I remember dropping her off at ER, and they took her upstairs, and I went into the sanctuary in the chapel there at the hospital in Wayne, and I knelt and prayed. My wife lost that baby. God knows why. But then when she got pregnant next time, I said something that came true. I said, Lord, thank you for the boys we're going to have. We have four. We have four boys. And I remember the first time I held Donnie, my oldest boy. And they just came to visit us a couple weeks ago, and the grandchildren. And it was the most beautiful feeling in the world, isn't it, to hold you? Now, I will relate later if some of you have not experienced some of these things. And so remember that. Remember that. They're your children, and you are God's child. As the song said today, you belong to God. Last is baseball. You see, I'm not very large, but I had a baseball scholarship to the University of Kentucky, Morehead State University, and Eastern Kentucky. However, some things happened, and I ended up, you know, going to Vietnam. I got married, and then later I got drafted and went to Vietnam. So the first 2 years of our marriage, Kathy and I spent 31 days together. We've been married 50 years. And another trial. We just celebrated 50 years with our church people and our friends, and way over 100 people attended. And we did a tattletale time on them, but they could not tattle on us. Because I knew everyone there. And then I go home, and 4 or 5 days later, I get the report that I have cancer in my neck. It was devastating. But as the song said, all fear is gone. The Israelites feared the promised land, didn't they? That was one of the mistakes they made. They made three. Satisfied with the present, wanted to go back to the past. You don't want to go back to your past. You want to move forward. You want to be a winner. You want to be a winner. And as you throw this glove, you've heard the term use two hands? Well, this glove, you don't need two hands. So when you see one of the pros, you know, the reason they said that, I have a glove that my grandfather, who was an evangelist, and I went with him to most of his services. The only thing I regret, I did not accept Christ until after he passed away, even though I was in most of his services. And the reason that first phrase came about was the gloves had no leather here. They were just open. You had to cover it to catch the ball. That's why they said use two hands. And I have two of those gloves. And they're very priceless, and I don't think I will pass them down, that I would ever sell them or anything. I'll just ask my kids and my grandkids to keep passing those two gloves down. They're very old. My grandfather and I used to play a lot of catch together. He was a good athlete. So my question today is a lot of trials, but a Sunday is a coming. A lot of trials in our lives. And who had more trials than Jesus Christ? But a Sunday came, didn't it? A Sunday came, and our Lord rose again. We all have special gifts that God's given you. My gift is evangelism, and I have preached in youth messages, and I just know I'm a storyteller. And the music that was being played that night in practicing was fine. It was good contemporary music. So it woke me up, and I'm out in the campground, the whole of campgrounds in Grass Lake, Michigan, and there's 300 or 400 kids coming, camping, and coming from all over. And Saturday night is the night that I would speak. So I could not sleep. I got up, and up on the platform of the gymnasium, some gentlemen who we did not know were going to be the musicians the next day. They had different musicians about every night. Some of the girls were there, and they weren't dressed properly. And they were sitting in these 40-year-old men's laps. And it bothered me. And I saw one of mine, and I asked her to go to her room. And she did, because she knows if she didn't, I would send her home, because I've sent kids home all the way from Colorado on trips, you know. And so I went home, not home, went back to our cabin, and I knelt and I prayed. I said, Lord, what's going on here? Am I so old and old-fashioned, you know? And he spoke to my spirit, and he says, I will use one of their own. I had no clue. He said, get up, go to bed. I got up, I went to bed. The next day, the next evening, Saturday evening, I'm sitting about right there with my wife, and a guy who was in our small group ministry, happened to be Islamic, had interrupted us all during our messages. The girls, the teens led the small groups ministry. And so he come running down the aisle and yelling, Jesus is not real. Jesus is not real. And he was so cold when he went by me. And I walked up and got in front of him, and I said, by the blood of Jesus, get out of here. And he left. He left. And about that time, Michelle White, four little girls, White, last name White, went camping with us. Their mother had them all married off to all of my boys, about the same age. But my boys used to say, Dad, they're my sister. We raised with them. And none of them have gotten married, but they're friends today. Michelle says, Pastor Don, I have something to say. It hit me. I will use one of their own. This little girl got in the pulpit. I did not say a word that night. I did not close in prayer. She preached a dynamic message. Michelle White. Melissa, Michelle, Marlena, and Kath, help me the other name. Marcy. Four names. And she preached dynamic medicine. So someone's going to lead you this year. Pray. I witnessed the first message out of the book of Romans, and I told my wife, I said, there's a vision here. There's a vision here. Oh, you might look around and say, where's it at? It'll come. It'll come. Get together and keep the faith. Do not let Satan beat you down. Remember the Israelites. Remember what they did. They're afraid to go into the promised land. They're afraid to go. Because of what? They were not disciplined. Lack of discipline. Trials will keep you from disciplining yourself. Other things will keep you from disciplining yourself. Everybody wants to have a desire and want to become dedicated. It doesn't happen. There's a middle D. You must discipline yourself. You must search God's scriptures. You must read. You have a search warrant. Why not use it? Search those scriptures. And Jesus Christ is there. He is there to lead you forward. He is there to lead you on. They wanted to go back to Egypt. They forgot how tough it was. They got satisfied in the desert. They were satisfied. Don't get satisfied. Oh, I love the old hymn, but don't get satisfied. And I cannot say enough about you. I've told the pastor and I've told the song leader what a great job they do. I really enjoy it here. I enjoy my home church. I'm not pastor anymore. We're the pastoral care pastor. That's the dryness of my throat, I'm sorry. And they're doing a fantastic job at our church. We have a very outgoing church. And my wife and I do the visitation with a team of 22 people. And our church is 125 people. I have 22 people helping me to do the ministry, you know, to go and visit people and to get meals to those who are sick, to make sure each small group is taking care of each group. That it doesn't fall a burden on the church when someone needs something. I encourage the small groups, take care of your own. That's what we're for. And God has blessed them. That God has blessed them. You know, we've had people get sick, don't have a house payment, and it never gets to the finance committee. Because we're small. We can't afford a lot of things. But God will find a way. If we discipline ourselves, an athlete must discipline themselves. I had to discipline. I'm very small. I weighed 120 pounds when I was in high school, and they put in the paper, 5 foot nothing, 125 pound Don Justice, list the scholarships. You know, but I didn't get there. I went and hit every day. A Lutheran pastor used to come and toss me balls, and he told me then, Don, your sensitive heart's going to lead you a long ways. And it has. And he taught me how to switch hit. And I was past the age you get switch hitting. I was 14 years old. And he pitched to me. And when you do the infield, you know, you don't put the kids in the infield. They'll get hurt. Infield, batting practice. Well, I wanted to be a big shot, and he's hitting. And I go to third base, and he bats left-handed that day. And Freddie Branham was pitching. And he hit me a line drive, and it went down and caught me in the mouth. I could flip this tooth out today, you know, and he busted it out. So what I'm saying is I had disciplined myself. There's going to be some things that happen. You might get broken sometimes. The devil will try to beat you to death, but you're an overcomer. And the pastor is going to come in a few minutes and close, but I want to close with this. My messages are usually 15 to 20 minutes long. And I want to close with this. Remember in the book of Revelations, where the pastor was reading, they are challenging the people, Jesus is, because it's Jesus' revelation. He's challenging the people, return to your first love and do the things you did at first. Remember the height from which you have fallen and return to your first love. Return to your first love. Well, what happens when we return to our first loves? When we start disciplining ourselves, think of this. What are you going to do? Read further. You're going to dine with your Lord. You're going to sit at his table. You're going to give him a new name and a white stone. A white stone. You're going to be given a white stone. You're going to see the morning star. All these things are related to Christ. Just think of that. Discipline yourselves. Pick up on the vision that God has laid on your heart. Keep the compassion. Keep the kindness that you show my wife and I when we first came here. My doctor, who is Islamic, and we talk. Kathy knows. I talk to him, you know, and he listens. Well, he doesn't have much of a choice. We're in a closed room. And I talk to him about Christ, Dr. Shaw. And he's a little guy, and he looked like he's 20 years old, maybe because I'm, whatever, 70. And he listens. And I told him what you guys did, how you came to visit me. The very next day, someone came. Your pastor comes over and spent not just 5 minutes with me, spent 30, 40 minutes praying with me. It's enhanced my healing. Support enhanced your healing. Your church is here to support you. You're here to support the church with your tithes, your offerings, your talent. You know, you have a gift. Ask God to use you. He'll find a way. Amen. He will find a way. And as your pastor comes, who I've learned to respect his messages, because I told my wife and my wife's told me, you know, he's a good speaker. You're blessed. And I've been blessed. We're leaving the week from Wednesday, and I'm trusting God that I'm healed. My wife has told me a long time ago, she said, you're healed. Healing is a process. Healing is a process. Miracles most of the time happen instantaneously. And I could tell you miracles that I've witnessed, but I don't want to lose you. I want you to come back to this altar here when you're ready and pray. And Pastor, would you come and close, please?
We've been blessed, amen? Just close with a couple of thoughts. Talked about vision, and I really do have a vision for our church. But as I mentioned last week, remember the title? I'm sure you don't. But I had titled it, When a Vision is Not Enough. I shared that for a vision to take place, we have to be in tune with the Spirit. One of the best ways to be in tune with the Spirit is holiness, obedience. Another is to make sure that our prayer life is the way it should be before him. But I'd share that even Jesus did one more thing, and what was that? He fasted. And the one thing I didn't share is that the Bible tells us after he did that, he began his ministry and he moved in power. I really believe one of the things that we as a church need to do is we do need to fast. And if we will be willing to corporately fast, we are going to move in power. That's how come I shared last week about the gifts of the Spirit. God gave the church gifts. I believe some of them are like evangelism. I won't go through all the gifts, but one of the reasons God gives the gifts is he expects the church to use the gifts, to operate in the gifts, to be able to win souls. That's one of the reasons why God gave the gifts. And so we have to open up our hearts and say, Lord, thy will be done. Amen? Help me to move in whatever gift that you've given me and to not be holding back. And I have found more times than not when someone has that sense where they obey the unction of the Spirit, when God tells you to witness to someone, that they're the ones that end up the most blessed. Because that's usually when the supernatural begins. And when I say the supernatural, I mean where you're wondering, where did that come from? Where did that wisdom, where did that insight? Sometimes we think of supernatural just in signs and miracles and wonders. Sometimes it's the Spirit moving inside of you, speaking through you, where people begin to say to themselves, that had to be from God. That had to be from God. And that's the kind of church that we want to be. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the word that has been put forth. Thank you, Lord, for Don. Thank you, Father, for an opportunity to consider what is your vision for not only our church, but for each of us. What is our role? Help us, Father, to not miss it. We want to accomplish your will. We want to be in your will. And we know if we're not, that it won't happen. And that's all the more we pray. Help us to fast, because we know there's something about fasting that helps humble our spirit so your will can all the more be done in us. Help us to seek your face in this. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we have the worship team? What's that? Communion. Oh, yeah, we had communion. All right, Judge Bridges, if you would, please come forward. Father, as we begin to partake, we thank you, first of all, Lord, for the sacrifice of your Son. Thank you, he was willing to lay down his life. And by giving up his life, we have an opportunity to experience life, spiritual life and eternal life. Oh, Father, we praise you so much, Lord. Help us to also come but with a spirit of seriousness, a spirit of commitment, a spirit, Lord God, of submission. Father, as we come before you, we pray that you would help us to examine ourselves. And we do pray even now, forgive us in any area where we have failed you. Perhaps we weren't patient with someone as we should have been patient. Perhaps we weren't loving with someone that we should have been loving. Perhaps there's someone who needed a favor of us and we did not walk the extra mile. Father, we come before you asking that you would forgive us. Perhaps there's someone that you've been wanting us to witness to and we haven't. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would forgive us and to trust in your Spirit to work in us and through us. Father, we thank you most of all, Lord God, for the peace that comes through the forgiveness. And we pray, Father, that your peace would rule each of our spirits through your Son, Jesus. Amen.